You know that song, Good, Good Father? We're going to sing that at the end today. And when my boys are like, Dad, thanks so much, that was really nice, I'll sing, I'm a good, good father, it's who I am. It's a little self-centered. It's not really what the songwriter had in mind. Good to see all of you. So Saturday nights, my new habit is, again, that I come into this room and I sit right here and I pray for these moments right now. And I pray that God will speak to us. I pray that God will speak to you. See, I have no desire just to come and do church. Some people say, oh, Sunday, let's go do church. But I do have a desire for God to speak to people in their hearts. And these days, we're talking about Jesus in his own words. You know, a lot of people say a lot of things about Jesus, and I think it's good sometimes for us to step back and say, let's just let Jesus speak for himself. Let's let Jesus speak for himself. And so I've been praying for all of you. I want to do something that we haven't done in any of the other services. I just felt really prompted. Ryan is the water boy, possibly the greatest Adam Sandler movie ever made. Thank you. If there is a greatest Adam Sandler movie, I don't know, where he eats that crocodile in that movie. It's so funny. I want you to do something. I want us to do something that I haven't done in the other services. I just feel prompted to do this. If you're here today and you are carrying a load that feels heavier than you can carry on your own, you're carrying a load that's just got you weighed down. I want us to pray especially for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to pass a microphone around. We're not going to put what your load is on the screen. We're not going to do that, okay? But I want you to just simply do this. I'd like you to stand where you are, and then the people that are near you are just going to put a hand on your shoulder. They're not going to grab for your wallet, okay? We're not that kind of church. So they're not going to grab for your wallet, but just stand where you are. You'd say, I'm carrying a load that's heavier than I can carry on my own. People that are near you are just going to put a hand on your shoulder, and then we're going to pray. So ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. Just stand up. If you're carrying a load that's heavier than you can carry on your own. Yeah. Yeah. Now, if you're near these people, I want you to, I don't want anybody standing alone, okay? That would be an awful thing to stand in this moment and then be like, you know. So find somebody. Right down here on the front row, you just find somebody. You have permission to move about the room. Feel free to move about the cabin, okay? All right. Let's pray. God, this is what your church looks like. This is what your church looks like. We pray for one another. We bear one another's burdens. And all of us have something we're carrying, but for some today, what they're carrying feels really heavy. And it's causing them strain and stress and pain in their lives. And I just ask Jesus that today you would bring rest for weary souls. That you would be the good shepherd in the lives of each one that stands and for each one of us. Whatever that road is, whether it's grief or debt or anxiety or physical challenges, family matters, kid issues. I don't know what it is, God, a work-related thing. Jesus, I simply pray that you would reign and rule and that the peace of Christ would rule in our hearts, since as members of one body we are called to peace. And I pray all of this in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for doing that. Bit of a rapid gear shift from a very meaningful moment. When I was in college, I had a roommate. His name was David Bainbridge. David lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. He has 12 children. That's scary for me to say. He has 12 children. I asked him once if he did that on purpose. He said, absolutely. He drives like a 15-passenger van, has 12 kids. And David was quirky. David and I did not get along very well. Ironically, I was the best man in his wedding. He was the best man in my wedding. But David and I had our moments. We were really good friends, but we were like friends and enemies all at the same time. David and I, one of the things we disagreed about, so you can kind of get a picture of this, David liked the room in the wintertime to be really, really warm, and I liked it to be really, really cold. So in the wintertime, I would set the thermostat really low. Well, one night David came home from his job at Noble Roman's Pizza, and he walked in, and he hit tilt. I don't know any other way to say it. I mean, he went 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds, you know, and so David, he got so mad, this is what he did. He walked in, and he was like, "Are you kidding me?" And I'm like, I'm already in bed. I'm like trying to sleep. And he walked over to the window. He opened the window in the middle of a snowstorm. He opened the window, turned the air conditioner on full blast. And I'm going to give a lot of information. And I hope David Bainbridge is watching today online. David Bainbridge, my roommate, stripped down to his boxer shorts, sat down with a book in front of the air conditioning unit, and put his feet up and started reading the book. I grabbed another blanket and I went to sleep is what I did. I wasn't troubled by that at all. I'd finally made my point. That is an infamous story that will live on in legendary status. It was so cold that night. I'd never been that cold in my life. We slept the whole night with the window open and the air conditioner on in the dead of winter in central Indiana. And I got my point across, doggone it. But David Bainbridge had one quirk that I liked. He liked the Far Side cartoons. Anybody else in the room like the Far Side comic strip? Hold your hands high. You are the smart people. You are the people that if I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you are my phone of friends. Like you gotta have a higher level of, this is not Garfield. Anybody can get Garfield. But the Far Side, it takes creative intelligence to get the Far Side. Let me show you some of my favorite ones. This is rather random. I apologize. Here's one. Bummer of a birthmark, Hal. Can you imagine how Hal feels about that? Like if Hal had feelings. Can you imagine? Like, I wish deer came with targets on them. You know, I really do. Here's another one. I like this. I'm sorry. Boneless Chicken Ranch. Just let it sink in. You gotta let your brain engage. And then true to form, Far Side cartoons, if it's a boneless chicken, how did it get on top of the sign? That's what I want to know. I'm going somewhere with this. I went to school for this, believe it or not. To school for this. I have a master's degree in this stuff. Let me show you this one. This is an actual photo from last year in Sawyer County. Can you read it below? Pull out, Betty, you hit an artery. And oh, isn't that good? Oh, my word. You know what I learned this week? I learned there are three seasons. Three seasons in Hayward. Three seasons. There is wintertime, and that's when we complain about the cold. And then there's mosquito season, and that's when we complain about the mosquitoes. And then there's construction season. And that's when we complain about the traffic and the construction. I'm still trying to go left on railroad, and that is not a good idea. Here's one last one. Oh, this is the best one. I saved the best till last. Middale School for the Gifted. And he's pushing on the door. Look at the sign next on the door. Pull. Have any of you ever pushed on a pull door? There's practically speaking, yes, you have. Have you any of you ever pushed on a pull door in your marriage, in your relationships, in your job, in your family? I was talking with somebody this week, and they were like, oh, he said, I don't know how you get all this stuff from the Bible. There's so much in the Bible that I don't understand. There's so much in the Bible that I don't get, and this person was telling me that. And I told them again, something I've said so many times before, it is not the parts of the Bible that I do not understand that trouble me. It is the parts of the Bible that I do understand, but that I don't want to live by. This book tells me to forgive when I've been wronged. But my natural response when I've been wronged is to push on that door instead of pull. That book tells me that I need to trust rather than take things into my own hands. I need to trust rather than control. And I look at that and I'm like, I think I'd rather control things on my own. I'd rather take matters into my own hands. That book tells me that I ought to love as I've been loved. But then there's that person that hurt you. There's that person that hurt me. And I'm supposed to love that person? So I push on a pull door so many times in my own life. And I do that like this, like a sheep. We've been talking about sheep. We're in John chapter 10 today. It's in your Bible. If you go there, you'll find it, John chapter 10. Because sheep aren't smart. You lead a sheep into a rushing river, and that sheep will drown. That's why we need a shepherd to lead us to calm water. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, it says this. This is not a compliment, friends. Let's read this together. We all have wandered away. Let's read it together. That means we all read it out loud. We all have wandered away like sheep. Each of us has gone his own way. I read that verse this week, and my brain raced to Middale School for the Gifted. We all have wandered away like sheep. We have all pushed on a pull door. We all have wandered away like sheep. We all had moments when God said, do this, and we did this. We all have wandered away. So sheep need a shepherd, and we need a Savior, and the Savior is Jesus. See, you don't need a personal trainer. You need a Savior. You don't need a life coach. You need a Savior. You don't need a tutor to help you up your spiritual batting average so that you don't swear as much. You need a Savior. Some of you in this room, you think to yourself, you think, well, I don't need that. I need a buddy. That's what I need. I need somebody who's there for me when the bottom falls out. And Jesus says, no, you need a Savior. You need a Savior. You say, no, I need somebody to help me make my taxes make sense this year. That's what I need. And he said, no, you need a Savior. All through the Bible, all through the Old Testament, God is referred to as the shepherd of his people. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Isaiah 40, he tends his flock like a shepherd. Jeremiah 31, 10, hear the word of the Lord, you nations. He who scattered Israel will gather them, and he will watch over his flock like a shepherd. Ezekiel 34, 12, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. And then, in John chapter 10, Jesus stands up, and he makes an audacious statement. He says this. Let's read it together. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Let's read it one more time. Read it thoughtfully. Get this picture in your mind. Jesus is standing in front of a group of people that don't all agree with him, and they want him to say certain things. And Jesus says this, go, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So last week, I got made fun of. It's not good to make fun of your pastor, I want you to know, because then I'll call you out on Sunday morning. But I got made fun of because I had poor shepherd props last week. I had my blanket, remember, somebody in our worship team that played keys this morning called my blankie. And I had my blankie. I'll leave that out. But I had my blankie. Somebody said, you need better props. So I went with better props. I dug deep into the prop closet, and I found the shepherd's staffs from the Christmas pageant, you know, a few years back, I'm sure. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And I'm not going to do this because I pulled a muscle last week doing this. I lay down the life. I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. I don't know about you, but I need a Savior shepherd in my life. I don't need a buddy. I don't need another Facebook friend, though we can be friends on Facebook if you want. I need a Savior shepherd. In fact, remember the old song, some of the old timers in this room, I'm not going to call you out because I've learned not to define who the old timers are, but some of the old timers in this room, you know that old song. You know that song, Savior like a shepherd, lead us. Savior like a shepherd, lead us. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Then Jesus says down in verse 16 of chapter 10, he says, I have other sheep too. They're not part of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. You say, what's he talking about? He's talking about the Gentile people, the Jewish people. They wanted Jesus all for themselves. And Jesus says, no, I have some other sheep too. I have some other sheep too, and I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock, and there will be one shepherd. And at the end, it says the Jews were divided. Some said, this guy's demon-possessed. And then other people said, he's raving mad. But then others said, no, this man, it cannot be someone who's possessed by a demon. How can a man possessed by a demon can open the eyes of the blind? How can a man do that? So I want to talk to you today about the good shepherd, and I want to do it really quick this morning. Here's the first point. The good shepherd knows the sheep intimately. This is how I'm going to keep people awake in church this morning. Knows the sheep intimately. A good shepherd, and understand that when Jesus is called the good shepherd, this isn't like you would say, well, your kids were good. This isn't like you went over to somebody's house on Friday night and your kids didn't throw food at each other across the table. And so when you get in the car, you said, thank you for being so good. That's not what the word means here. When it says good, it means the ideal shepherd or the model shepherd or the perfect shepherd. And the Bible says, my sheep, this shepherd says, my sheep, they listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He knows the sheep intimately, individually. You are not anonymous. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are not anonymous to the shepherd. I know the sheep, and my sheep know me. Let me show you what it looks like when a shepherd calls after the sheep. I could tell you about it, but you wouldn't remember that. So I'll show you what it looks like when a shepherd calls after the sheep. Let's watch this together.
Where are you? Where are you? Come you. Where are you? Come you. Come you.
Like everybody trying to get here at 10:30 this morning. Just, come on kids, we gotta go.
Come here, you may.
There's always one in every sheepfold that's the extrovert in the room right there. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Second, not only does the shepherd know the sheep intimately, but the shepherd, a good shepherd, will feed the sheep generously. We read this last week. We said, I am the gate. Whoever comes through the gate will come in and go out and will find pasture. Will find pasture. You say, what does that mean? It means that the shepherd will lead the sheep. I'm going to trip over that mic cord right there. It means that the shepherd will lead the sheep to feed them generously. The priority of the shepherd is for the sheep to flourish. The shepherd longs for the flock to flourish. So we read words like this in Psalm 23. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Lord is my shepherd, and I want for nothing, because he feeds the sheep generously. But then, this goes right on the heels of this. He not only feeds the sheep generously, but he leads the sheep clearly. It says he calls them by name and he leads them out. Now this is really good. I read a book this week. I read part of a book. I shouldn't overstate my reading habits in front of you. I read a chapter of a book, and it's not like I burned through the whole Harry Potter series or anything, okay? I read a chapter of a book, in this book, is this book right up here. I'll show you. It's a book that Steve Garrick gave me. Where did I put it? Right here. It's called The Good Shepherd. You'd think there'd be something in there I could use in my sermon, and there is. It talks about how in the morning, you could call it the shepherd's ritual. In a village, all of the shepherds will go out into the street, and then they will call for their sheep, and all of the sheep will fill a little street. And then the shepherds will go out, and one at a time, one will call, another will call, another call, and the sheep, all together in one herd, will separate out and follow after their shepherd. See, sheep need someone to lead them clearly. I read this week as well, in this book right here, so if you don't like this story, blame Steve Garrick. Don't blame me, okay? But in that book right there, there's a story that says that sheep, if they are not led, they will get stuck. All we like sheep have gone astray, the Bible says. We will get stuck. They will get stuck so long in the same place that they will eat all the grass dry, down to the dirt. And this is what that book says. Don't come after me. Don't send me an email. If you want to send me an email, you can send it to steve@concordtool.com. But in that book, it says they will eat the ground dry. And unless the shepherd comes along to lead them out, they will literally eat their own excrement. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? They'll just eat what's coming out of them. You say, well, why would a sheep do that? Because they need a shepherd. They need a savior. The Bible says, as a dog will go back and eat its own vomit, that's what we do. Over and over and over again. The sheep, I don't like the word dumb, but I'm just going to tell you, the sheep are too dumb to leave. They need someone to lead them. My job is to follow. The shepherd's job is to lead. My job is to follow. Now, there's one more part of this leading the sheep clearly, and you are not going to like this one. But again, send it to Steve, not me. Steve gave me the book. This would have been a happier sermon if Steve hadn't given me the book. I want you to know. But the sheep, the shepherd, if there's a little lamb in the flock, and that little lamb goes off and gets stuck between a rock and a hard place, the shepherd does a really loving thing. The shepherd will leave the 99 and go to get the one. Now, we all like that, don't we? We're like, man, he'll leave the 99 and get the one. But then the shepherd does something else. And this, you're not going to like this. You're going to have to take it up with Steve or the author of this book. I don't know. But the shepherd will take that little lamb in his arms and will take that little lamb's leg and will snap it in two. I told you you wouldn't like it. You're all looking at me like, you are cruel and mean. I didn't do it to the lamb, the shepherd did. And so the shepherd takes that lamb in his arms and snaps that leg in two. But then the shepherd does something that's incredibly kind and incredibly loving. The shepherd will reset that lamb's leg. And then that shepherd will take that little lamb, and this isn't a lamb, obviously, but will put that little lamb up on his shoulders. You know that there's a point, there's this verse in the Bible. It says, we are like sheep carried close to the heart of God. He puts the lamb on his shoulders, and he carries that little lamb everywhere he goes. You say, well, why would he do that? Because he wants that little lamb. He wants that little lamb to learn his voice. He wants that little lamb to know the voice of the shepherd so well that he can distinguish the shepherd's voice from any other voice that would lead him astray. You know that in the Psalm 23, we always read Psalm 23 at funerals and whatnot. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. That's a lamb that's had its leg broken. He makes me lie down. The Bible says in the book of Job, blessed is the one who God corrects, so don't despise the discipline of the Almighty. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but later on it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. When I was reading this week in that book, it says that many times these little lambs will become the prize lamb of the shepherd because they know his voice so well. And they will never leave the side of the shepherd. Here's one more. The good shepherd protects the sheep courageously. Protects the sheep courageously. Picture the shepherd. The Bible says this. The Bible says, this shepherd is not a hired hand. It says, hired hand, it says when a wolf comes or a thief comes, the hired hand will do this. They will drop the staff and they will run. Jesus says, no, that's not this good shepherd. It says that the good shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. See, this good shepherd will fight for the sheep. See, here's the reality. There will always be wolves who prey on sheep, and there will always be wolves who prey on people. And a sheep versus a wolf is no contest at all. A sheep has a hard time defending itself. Porcupines have quills. Sheep are simply fluffy cotton balls trying to be in a boxing match. A skunk can spray you. A dog can bite you. A cat, even a nice cat, can annoy you. But a sheep can't defend itself. What's it gonna do? Bah! It's not gonna scare anybody away. Aren't you glad you came to church just to hear me do my sheep impersonation? But it says that the shepherd remains and fights for the sheep and defends the sheep. And in the same way, we belong to Jesus. And our Savior fights for us. He defends us. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are the sheep under his care. Now, I would be really, it would be pastoral malpractice not to preach this last point to you, so I want you to get this. All these pictures of the shepherd, some of you are like, sounds a little bit like a Hallmark card this morning, Chad, help me out. All these pictures, you have to look at verse 17 of John chapter 10. All these verses, you need to know this. The good shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, stands as victor over all. Verse 17. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Nobody takes my life from me, but I lay it down on my accord, and I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to pick it back up again. This is what Jesus is saying here. This is John Rambo kind of stuff. Jesus is saying, I am issuing a death notice to death. He says, nobody can take my life from me. You all think you can kill me, hang me on a cross, and that's what they'll do in just a few weeks. We'll study it in the Bible. You all think you can do that? Don't think you did that, because in the end, I am victor over all. Jesus is like, I already dealt with that, so you can't take my life. I laid my life down, and I have the authority to pick it up again. And so if Jesus was not some helpless pawn in this, you need to know that he has authority over whatever it is you face in your life. And you can trust him today. You can trust the shepherd. So a drama class, the professor said, I want you all to recite Psalm 23. The drama professor started. He went first. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and my cup runs over. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And when the drama professor finished doing that in such a dramatic and eloquent way, everybody cheered. And then the drama professor pointed at a kid sitting on the front row and said, now it's your turn. And this young student stood up in front of the class, nervous and shy and scared. And this young student read these words, recited them from memory. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And at this point, the student's heart, he started to remember some green pastures that the shepherd had had him lie down in. He leads me beside quiet waters. He thought about times that the shepherd brought peace in the midst of a storm. He restores my soul. The student just began to tremble. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death and the load is too heavy for me to carry, even though I walk through that valley, I will fear no evil. These words some of you need to hear. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And when that student finished, tears running down his cheeks. Nobody cheered. The class simply sat in sober silence as the professor stood up and said this. He said, it's obvious that I knew the psalm, but this student, this young man, knew the shepherd. I knew the psalm, but he knew the shepherd. So I have a singular question for you today. And it's this. You may know the psalm. You may know all the words. You got my stuff? Yeah. You may know all the words to the psalm. But do you know the shepherd? So I want to ask you to do something this morning. We've got these shepherd staffs here along the front. And maybe today you need a shepherd. You need a Savior shepherd in your life. For some circumstance, for something. And I want to invite you just to come and to kneel at one of these steps. To grab one of these in your hands. I want you to put that stake in the ground. I want you to feel that shepherd's staff is strong. And I want you to simply today to say, Jesus, would you be my shepherd? And you might say, look, this is my first time here. I'm a little freaked out by this, like I've never done this. Ask the person next to you to go with you. They'll come with you. And as we sing this song, you just come and ask Jesus to be your shepherd. So Jesus, I pray for many today that they would find freedom in trusting you as their shepherd. in a specific case, God, and whatever it is they face, in a specific way, would you shepherd them through the journey they're on with courage and grace? May they come in and go out and find pasture. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.